the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. Let us read again from the scripture, Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to 3, as we come in dealing with these first principles of the oracles of God again today, and coming to its conclusions. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we do if God permits. And we say again that the reason for going through this teaching is that we may come into perfection, maturity in Christ. And we've been dealing with the issue of the white judgment throne, and from Revelation chapter 20, and we'll go right away to read this for our progressive understanding. So let's go to Revelation 20, and I want to read verse 11 and 12 down. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You will notice from what we've been sharing with you that this is the final judgment that we have in the scripture, because immediately after this judgment, we enter into what the scripture say, the new heaven and the new earth. You will see that in Revelation chapter 21. And let me just read for you. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So we see here, immediately after this judgment, of this white throne judgment, great white throne judgment, we will know that the next thing that happened is the introduction of the new heaven and the new earth, and the holy city Jerusalem, which is the bride, coming down from heaven. So we see that the 1,000-year reign of Christ is to put down all rules and all dominion and all authority, and to subject, to return this world back to the way God intended it from the beginning. This world, the way we know it, the system and everything, and all the corruption will be taken away. And then where God opens the next chapter in his purpose, and that is the new heaven and the new earth. But we are looking today, in studying this scripture, in looking at this scripture, we are continuing today the aspect of this white throne judgment. And so I want to conclude. We've shared with you that this is a place where the book again is opened, the book of life. So, but before we go, I want you to take note. You will see here that before the judgment, certain things also would have happened. I want to read from verse 7 of the same Revelation chapter 20. It says, and when the 1,000 years expire, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, because Satan shall be kept in prison for that 1,000-year reign of Christ, and shall go out to deceive the nation, because nations will have increased again for 1,000 years when people will not die. The scriptures say that somebody who will die at this time will be, as an infant,
with that when it's 100 years. So we see that population would have increased again, even though so many people would have died as a result of judgment and the tribulation and the wrath of God. So many people would have died. But then 1,000 years, just enough for people to reproduce again and then for the population to have grown back again. So after this, Satan, of course, will be released, and then Satan will do what he knows to do again. And the Bible says, verse 8, and he shall go out to deceive the nations, because the nations will still be there, which are in the four quarters of the earth. Of course, you also say, why did he say four quarters of the earth? Because by this, the nations will not be at the same as they are before this time. The numbers of the nation will have reduced, but population will still be there. And then he says there, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the seas. That means the population will still be there, even though the numbers of the nation would have reduced at this time. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. And these are the saints who have entered into the resurrection. And the beloved city that we have seen that in chapter 21 that came down. So, and this beloved city, and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. That means Satan and all the people. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, not only the devil now, but also the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet who has helped the Antichrist. So the three of them, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Please don't let somebody tell you that there's no hell. Please don't let somebody tell you that there's no lake of fire, and that is for a while. It's forever and ever. So it is after this has been done, then in verse 11, we saw the great white throne judgment set. And he that sat on, of course, is the Lord himself. And then the judgment began. I also want you to see that this judgment is predominantly to deal with the dead. You see this in verse 5 of this same chapter. It says, and the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So the first thing that this is to address is the dead. It's not because everybody is living would have been dead. Because we are seeing here, even those who are gathered by Satan to deceive them again, to come against the camp of fire, would have destroyed them. So everybody would have died. Okay? And so the judgment here is for the dead. So that's where resurrection of everybody will now take place. This resurrection now is not part of the first resurrection. It's the second phase of resurrection. We want us to put it that way. And so at this judgment, the dead now here. You see that in verse 5. It's also repeated. You will see also that not only in verse 5, you will see verse 12. It says also in verse 12, it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. So we see that is the judgment of the dead. Then you will see in verse 13, it says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell also deliver up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. So you will see that the dead are this one, that are hell, that were in the seas, they are all being brought out now for this judgment. You also see this in verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So you see death, 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 death. So you see the issue has to do with the dead or death itself. And so when the dead has been judged again, the other thing that are addressed, like we are seeing here, is also that death and hell itself, because death is a realm, death is a being, hell is a realm, and hell is a being. So, but I want us to understand here that sometimes we confuse hell with lake of fire. They are two different things. They are two different things. And that's what we see here, that hell itself shall be cast to the lake of fire. And it's important that we understand the difference between the two. I'd like to take time to show us the difference between the two. But before I do that, let me explain that we have also said that at this white throne judgment, the books are open. Of course, everybody that is born in this world, God has their records. Everything that we have ever done has a record before God. But there's a book here, the book of life, that is meant for those who are born again, those who have given their life to Christ, that is also brought here. We have explained that last week, that it is brought out for those who a Christian who have to face this white throne judgment, and it has to revisit the issue of their salvation, whether their name has still retained in the book of life. This is the issue here. Now, it's important that we also understand that God is long-suffering. God gives us all the opportunities in the world to overcome. But if we fail after all the opportunity that has been given to us, then judgment must come. Judgment must follow. So let me also take the time, like I said, to explain to us. If you look at the scripture, I want us to go to Isaiah 66, to affirm certain things and to explain certain things. One, to affirm the fact that once one goes into this judgment, it's forever. It's not for a while. There are teachings and books today that say hell or judgment, even if it exists at all, it's just for a while. It's not for a while. And I want to read from Isaiah 66 and verse 22 to 24. And it say, "For as the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." Of course, all flesh will have entered into the first resurrection. That's what it's talking about. "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all humans," or unto all people, unto all flesh. So we see here, it is a judgment. In this point, being sent into this lake of fire is forever and ever. Now, we also want to go to Matthew 25, verse 46, that we've been looking at. Matthew 25 and verse 46, we have been looking at, to explain this. Matthew 25 and verse 46, and it says this, "And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So this place of fire, this place of burning, is everlasting. That's what I just want to explain here again. Now we'll go further and we'll go to Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, and it says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed, and having two hands, to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." So we see here again the difference. It is everlasting fire. It's forever and ever and ever. Now we go to Revelation 14. Revelation 14 from verse 9 to 11. And it says, "And the third angel follow them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." So we see here, verse 11, "And the smoke of the atonement ascended up forever and ever. They have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name." So we see here again, this judgment is forever and ever and ever and ever. I want to read from Revelation chapter 19, verse 19 and 20, and also say, "And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." So we see here, and again, that judgment is forever, and they are cast there. Having said that, it's good also that we will also say this, that we may look at the scripture and balance the truth here. So we want to see the difference between hell and lake of fire, which is important that we see. Sometimes we confuse this. We say hell and we think we are talking about lake of fire. That is not the truth. Now, if you see the word hell, for instance, in Acts chapter 2, verse 27, Peter was quoting a scripture that was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Said, "Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell." That hell there is not necessarily the lake of fire. But hell is a compartment that we could see what Jesus taught about the rich man and Lazarus, and was talking about Abraham being in one part and the rich man was in another part. But there was a gulf between two of them. And at that point, Of course, the hell was a place of torment for the rich man, but the other side of it for Abraham was a place of consolation. Of course, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, those Old Testament saints who overcame, we have shared this before, they were taken out of that place, because we share with you in the scripture that in the day of resurrection that they saw the old saints who went. So, but hell itself is not the final destination. Hell itself is just a temporary place that people are still being kept who do not follow the Lord. We believe that if people follow the Lord today and they are born again, they die, they immediately go into the presence of the Lord. If they overcome, they go into the presence of the Lord. Because we remember Stephen, who said, "Lord Jesus, receive ye my spirit." After Jesus came and died, heaven was open. But yet, nobody has received their reward yet. All they are waiting for their reward. And that's why we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what the scriptures say. We also know that even the nature of hell, if you look at Luke chapter 16, and we'll look at verse 23, it says this: "Hell, he lifted up his eye, being in torment, and said, Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." Well, for us, no, the place where the rich man was a place of torment. It was not a good place, but yet it was not yet final destination, which is lake of fire. Now, I also want to say this, but hell also is not just a place. We've taught this here. Hell is also a life. In the book of James, it says, the tongue is a wall of fire. Let's look at what James says. James chapter 3, verse 6. He says, "And the tongue is a fire, a wall of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that he defileth the whole body, and set it on fire, the cause of nation, and is set on fire of hell." So we can see also, you know, sometimes we use this expression, "I saw hell today." Hell let loose in that place today. Hell is not just a place by such expressions and by what we have read. Hell is also a life, an experience, a place of torment, oppression, sin. When Jesus also said that, "I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail," primarily he's saying the power of hell, the power of sin, iniquity, and wickedness. So when we see sin, iniquity, wickedness, violence, death, wickedness, that's also the manifestation of hell here on earth. So we see that hell is a place, hell is a life that can be lived. Hell can be in somebody's tongue, from what we have read, what you say, what you release. Hell can control your tongue. Hell can be a hole that what you are expressing, because the Bible said there's power of life and death in your tongue. So it depends on who is controlling your tongue. So we want to also explain that hell is like that. So when Jesus said in Matthew 16:18 that "I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," of course he's talking about power of hell, oppression. So if somebody is oppressed today, demonic, being oppressed by demon, by evil, by sickness, by torment and all that, that's also hell already here on earth. So we see that hell is not just something that is waiting there, that's a compartment, but it's something that can be experienced here. You remember also in Matthew chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus was talking about Capernaum, that it has been exalted to heaven and it shall be brought down to hell. If you go to Capernaum today, you will see the result of what Jesus said. The place is totally desolate. So what Jesus was calling hell for Capernaum at that time was that it will be abandoned, it will be desolate. Nobody will live there. It will be barren. So also that explains what we mean by hell. That's why we read in that Revelation chapter 20, verse 6 and verse 14. And it says in verse 8, "Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. On such the second they had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Then we go to verse 14, and it explains the second death. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. So the second death is when people who faced the white throne judgment and did not escape it, or they were judged or condemned, they were going to be now consigned to the final place. And it said death and hell, Satan, the beast, that's the Antichrist, the false prophet, and every wicked, like we have read in also in the parable of the tares, they are sent into this lake of fire, which is the final destination. So this is the truth as we see it in the scripture. Now you will see this. Let me also show you from Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels." You can see now that what God is showing is that hell or lake of fire is not prepared for human beings. It's prepared for Satan and his devils. But human beings will choose to go there by their actions and their inactions. by their sin and rebellion. A previous opportunity provided, human being will choose to go to where it was prepared for Satan and his angels, fallen angels of course, and the Antichrist and the first prophet. And of course we can see human being will choose to go there by the action they will choose. It's a choice. Salvation is a choice. Following God is a choice. But God has given us opportunity. That's why we have come to your way in these last few months, bringing this message on these issues in Hebrews chapter 6, dealing with all these issues in Hebrews chapter 6. We trust that you have been blessed. We believe that we have dealt with this matter. At least now, we are going to rest the issues here. But remember that we have brought these first principles of the oracles of God to you in this month. We have dealt with all these issues, starting from the doctrine of Christ, which is talking about the Godhead, that we must know the Lord that saved you and the God that you served, that we do not have three gods, we have one God, that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Almighty God, and that we do not have three gods, we have Him. He is the Almighty God, and that we must have a revelation of who Christ is, and so that we do not worship and we do not know what and who we worship. And then we, after dealing with that, the doctrine of Christ, we have also dealt with repentance from dead works, that when you are born again, one of the things you must do is to repent from dead works. This is not repentance from sin, but repentance from dead works. You have been born again not to continue in doing things that has no light, that is not led or ordained by the Holy Spirit. That whatever you do that is not led by the Holy Spirit is a dead work that you are to repent from, and then hence to live and to hear from the Lord and to follow what He has you to do. And after that, we dealt with the issue of faith toward God, that when you are born again, you are to walk in faith. Faith coming by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And it's this life of faith you are called to walk in. It's important that you are taught the life of faith so that you can walk with God and not be defeated. And then the doctrine of baptisms, we've heard that there are many baptisms. There's a water baptism, there's Holy Spirit baptism, there's baptism into the body of Christ, and then there's a baptism of fire. We deal with all these. They are also important. They are milestone for us to attend to in our journey into Christ. And then we also dealt with the laying on of hands, laying on of hands for impartation, for baptism, for healing, for blessing. We dealt with all this. They're also very, very, very important that we understand and we practice this. And we have always emphasized it's not just to know this, but to experience them. And then we have also dealt with issue of resurrection from the dead, resurrection at different levels. We dealt with resurrection that happens in our spirit, in our soul, and should happen in our body. We dealt with the issue of first resurrection, and so on and so forth, and which we have also touched somehow today. And then finally, of eternal judgment. We've spent so many weeks on this issue of eternal judgment because we think it's very, very important. As we look at the more scriptures were open to us, and we trust that the Lord has helped us at least to present it to you in a way that can be meaningful to you and you can experience it. And we trust that those of you who have taken time to follow us all the way from the beginning to now, that you have been blessed and you have been changed and you have been transformed, and it has helped you in your work and in your focus to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you who somehow you met us halfway, if you want this, you can contact us, because all is recorded and we can make them available for as many of you that want them, because they are all recorded. So you can have them personally to yourself and you can listen to them for yourself, or you can even give them as gift to your friends, to your family members that you think they need it, and they'll be blessed by this message we have brought your way. We ask the Lord to bless you. And if you need some of our materials, you can also get our materials. We have some books. We have a book on hearing the voice of God. We have a book on generation code. And then you can visit our website, or you can see our activities there, what we have to offer to you. So we ask you to take this opportunity and know us better and get to see what we offer. I ask the Lord to bless you. I ask that the grace of God will abide upon you and will continue with you. I ask that heaven and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and reigning and ruling with Him will be your portion, to sit with Him on the throne. This is the promise set before us. And I pray that grace and grace and grace will be multiplied for all of us, that we may be partaker of all these things, to the glory and the honor of His name. Lord bless you.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers: 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again: 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness. Oh.